Their stories came to us from Michigan Radio's reporter and executive producer of podcasts, Jennifer Guerra, and she's with us now. Jen.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, individually, nothing that was said is particularly shocking to anyone who parents or who has a parent in their life. But to hear it laid out like this, I mean, this is a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. I think, I mean, if there was like a word to sort of sum up what I was hearing, it was exhaustion. I think exhaustion would sort of be the main one. And just how sustainable is this? Those were kind of the two things I would say that came up repeatedly. There were some parents who were like, you know, definitely seeing the positive. Everyone was trying to see the positive in what was going on with remote school. And a lot of people did talk about they get to see their kids more. And that's great. But the unknown of like how long this is going to go on, it's definitely taking a toll on a lot of parents.
What issues would you say were top of mind with the folks that you talked to? I mean, was it the issues about kids possibly falling behind academically or missing out on the social interaction that used to be a huge part of their day, or just how long online schooling can work out for them? What would you say was just really the front burner issues?
Can I say all of the above?
Yeah.
I feel like all of those came up. Interestingly, the academics, I don't think were necessarily top of mind with the folks that I talked to. So it definitely came up for some people. It was really the social emotional well-being of the kids that came up repeatedly, and really how long they can go on. A lot of parents that I talked to are going to run out of personal time that they're able to stay home with their kids because they have to go back outside of the home to work. How long they can rely on family members. You know, one grandma that I talked to was like, let's hope this only lasts one semester. And then it was like dot, dot, dot. And I know I was thinking, sure, you could hope that it lasts one semester, but we really don't know. And so a lot of people have these piecemeal plans in place with the idea that they might be temporary, but we just don't know how temporary these plans really are.
Let's bring Erin Hunter into this conversation. She's interim director of the University Center for the Child and Family at the University of Michigan. And her office provides counseling services for families, everything from therapy to assessment for learning disorders and neurodivergence. And Erin also has two kids who are doing school remotely at the moment. Erin Hunter, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Would you say that the demand for services that you and your staff have seen has gone up during all this?
We definitely are continuing to get calls, but I would say in some ways our call volume is lower than it typically would be for this period. And the way that I understand that is that I think that families are honestly so overwhelmed with all of the tasks that they're already doing that they probably want help and want to reach out for help, but they're actually just feeling so overwhelmed that it is harder to reach out.
Jen Guerra, I wanted to play a comment that came from a mom you spoke with, Caitlin Farrell. Is this right? You asked her about the toll that the school year has taken so far?
I think I just said, how are you doing?
Yeah.
It was just like a right. Pretty open-ended. I mean, we had been talking for a little bit, and I think I said, so how are you doing? Actually, I think I asked every single person I talked to, how are you doing? And it was just really telling people's reactions. And of course, I was catching them in a moment. But when I happened to talk to Caitlin, she was really feeling stressed.
Let's listen.
It's exhausting. I'm not going to lie. I've cried 3 times this week. It makes me feel horrible. It makes me feel like I'm failing my kid, like I'm failing myself and my husband. I mean, honestly, my mental health is suffering. It's taking a toll on my husband's ability to focus on his academics. Obviously, there's more pressure in our marriage.
So something about that clip that I do want to say, what we don't hear in that clip is she's saying that, you know, she's coming from a lot of privilege herself, but she has to work outside the home and her husband is in law school and taking an assistantship. And there are all these variabilities, as Erin has said earlier. Everybody's got their own unique situation. But the thing that really came up with her and what I'm seeing around when I talk to people is that there's a lot of comparison. She says she's looking on Facebook and seeing some parents are able to provide tutors for their kids or able to put their kid in a private school or able to stop working and help out more with school at home. And I think that is taking a big mental toll on parents, the comparison of what others are able to do and what maybe they are not able to do.
So obviously there's, you know, there's the feeling of being alone with all these problems, but also the feeling of being in a world that's dealing with it and maybe not measuring up to standards. Erin Hunter, what kinds of issues are you seeing cropping up with kids and parents? Does some of this ring true?
Definitely. And what the pandemic has done is make it harder for us to connect with our villages. So we're seeing things, but we're seeing it in 2D instead of 3D. You know, and I think that without knowing when it's going to end, that it is just an ongoing hardship. So I think what I'm seeing in parents and kind of kids and families as a whole is just increasing stress, like for everybody. So there's just more tension in homes, which can lead to more conflict. I think that sometimes people are trying to keep up and keep all their balls in the air, which is impossible. Some of them are going to drop at times, and especially during a pandemic and, you know, where we don't have the resources that we would have if we were not in this situation. So everyone has lower resources, but is trying to do more than what they would normally do. Even with kids, where they're trying to engage on a screen that they're not used to, and they can't look over and kind of get that social connection by making eye contact with their friends. You don't know if you're making eye contact with someone via Zoom.
Sure. Jen Guerra, it feels like parents aren't just being parents right now. What other roles did you hear them talk about stepping into?
All the roles. Snack maker and playmate and teacher, tutor, project manager. You know, they're just juggling. People are just juggling.
IT specialist.
Yeah.
That one's come up in our house.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. For sure. Ours too. Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot there. Erin, so when we see these relationships between children and parents going through these somersaults and these new contortions, it seems like that cuts down even more of, you know, parents' ability to sort of stay centered in all this. Are there things that you're telling people about dealing with that?
Yes. And I think it's actually now more than ever, it's important for parents to do some things for themselves, even if it's just for 5 minutes, because parents we're the car that drives our kids around to places. And if we don't have any fuel in our tank, then we're just sitting in the garage with our kids kind of upset and whining and wanting something to happen, but we don't have the means to get them anywhere. So it is very crucial for parents to do things to take care of themselves, whether that's reaching out to a friend, whether it's reading a fiction book, whether it is standing outside and just letting yourself feel the sun on your face for a few minutes, giving yourself a moment to step into the bathroom, close the door, and take some slow, deep breaths for yourself. And the kids seeing parents kind of model that for them is actually really, really useful too. And even a parent saying, I'm really frustrated, I need to go take a break, I'm going to step outside for a few minutes and then I'll come back. Wouldn't that be lovely if kids were able to do that when they were upset instead of throwing something or yelling? The other thing that I would say that I really urge for everybody in this time, but particularly parents, is letting yourself be compassionate towards yourself. We are in a hard situation. There are no right answers. We are in kind of uncharted territory, and that is stressful and hard. So give yourself props for doing the best that you can in this crazy-making situation, lowering your expectations of yourself and your kids, and thinking about what are your priorities. So in your family, even like making a list of like, these are the things that are most important to our family. Those are the things we're going to focus on. And for now, anyway, we're going to let some of that other stuff go.
It seems like so much of this may vary and that the toolbox may have to be different depending on the age and maybe also the number of kids in the family. Jen, would you say that was, you know, that age and the ability of kids to, you know, do their own thing for a while was a big factor in how well parents felt like they were doing with all this?
Yeah, I do think age and ability are like two very key factors in terms of what it is like in the home. So if, you know, I have a first grader and a preschooler, so my homeschool thing is going to be very different than somebody that maybe has a seventh grader or a 12th grader. And it's going to be different from somebody who has a student with special needs. For a lot of parents that I talk to whose students do have special needs or have IEPs, they still haven't gotten the accommodations they need necessarily for their students. And so they're having to be the special ed teacher in addition to their work that they get a salary for at home, in addition to whatever else they've got going on in the house.
Erin, we touched on this a little bit earlier, but parents in a lot of ways don't have control over what's going to happen. Maybe their kids will be back for face-to-face learning at some point. Maybe not. Maybe they'll go back to face-to-face learning and they'll have to resume online instruction at some point over the winter or spring. This uncertainty, what do you tell parents or kids about living in that limbo without just completely losing their mind?
It's a really good question, and I have to keep bringing myself back to this one as well, as a parent. I think the biggest thing is reminding yourself of what is in your control and reminding yourself what is not in your control. What is in your control is your own behavior. And I want to highlight for parents, you can control your own behavior. You cannot control your child's behavior. But what we can do is we can do the things to take care of ourselves. So we can step outside and feel that sun or just kind of have a breath of fresh air for a minute. The other thing that we can do is we can work to set up at least some bit of rhythm and structure in our own household, to some sense of routine. And I think this is even more important when there is so much unpredictability, and especially for kids, is letting there be some things that are predictable. You know, in the morning, we're going to do these things. Our lunch is going to be this. Bedtime is going to be this. Here's part of our bedtime routine. That rhythm can do a lot to settle anxiety. And then kind of just acknowledging that, like, this is really hard and I can't control that right now. And sometimes I even imagine that there's a little bit of a waterfall. And I just imagine the waterfall coming and kind of washing away those things that I can't control and just watching them go down and then float away and drift off.
Erin Hunter is a clinical psychologist and interim director of the University Center for the Child and the Family at the University of Michigan. And we've also been talking with Michigan Radio's Jen Guerra. Erin, thank you so much. I can't tell you how much release it is, just myself hearing this, so I can only imagine how other parents might be benefiting from your work right now as well.
I'm happy to be here. This is a very important topic, so...
Yeah, when you were talking about living in limbo, I was like, I'm taking notes. Here's what I need to do.
Well, Erin, thank you. And Jen Guerra, please sit tight. We're going to be back in just a minute to talk about what the options look like for parents who need backup. That's next on Stateside.